I have figured out how or why, it might be better to say why Sierra Leman used iron coils. Why the only coils he utilized is iron. Because that's the only way to put the waveforms back together again to get power. You know, a power factor of, what is it, unity? Positive unity? Because when you're dealing with over-unity free energy devices, more often than not, the current and the voltage are out of phase by 180 degrees. Now, it's the property of remnants in iron that puts it back together again in an inductive manner. That means you could use iron plates on a capacitor so that the capacitor could put the phases of current and voltage back together again to make it usable. So you can only use iron for transmission and, you know, and for coils and for the plates of a capacitor. You can't use iron for you can't use copper for coils. You can use copper in your devices to serve as entropy to consume your power. That you can do, because copper is very good at entropically losing the magnetic field, as Oliver Heaviside resolved the problem over in his era, as was evident in his era with the problem that he had resolved by putting iron back into the coil that had never mistakenly been left out. The only time to use copper is because of its overreactive property. You can build up a tremendous amount of voltage, and that's not news. Anybody who builds a so-called Tesla coil, that's not really a Tesla coil, but in today's modern vernacular, we call it a Tesla coil. Anybody who builds one, designs them, knows you can build up voltage like crazy. But that's it. But that's what copper is good for. And when you coordinate it with other materials of construction in the right formation, you can get over unity. You can get of watts, over unity of watts, of joules. Actually, more importantly, you can get over unity of joules. But otherwise, copper is only good to consume because it wastes. It throws away magnetism. It wastes current and thus wastes power. So it's the remnants property of iron that helps it put everything back together again. So you don't have to have a resistive heating element to boil water or an incandescent light bulb to make use of free energy. You can actually use iron coils to make use of free energy. And I used to think of cross winding, you know, two parallel copper windings that are counterwound with respect to each other, and they're parallel connected to each other, creating a closed loop. I always thought that was the only way to make use of current and voltage that are out of phase by 180 degrees, because the current of one coil and the voltage of the other coil will match up, and vice versa. And so you'll get power in the fields surrounding the two coils, not in the coils themselves. Which means, so you can't assume that the coil electrically connected to your load will give your load power. And that makes sense. It'll only work if you have a receiving coil to receive the field of this double wound coil. So you need a third coil to pick up and send to your load. And that's what Nathan Stubblefield did. He had a third coil, except one was a copper coil and one was an iron coil. So he had remnants built into his system by the blending. So that's actually... Yeah, but the Amon brothers didn't do that. They had only one coil and it was iron. Regardless of whether they were transmitting or receiving power. So what do you need the copper for? Why did Nathan Stubblefield do that? That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. But he did it. And it's a mystery. We'll have to leave it at that. So it's not... the ability, I was assuming it was the ability to pass DC. No. It's simply the use of iron is remnants, and the only purpose is to put the waves back together again. It's not to be able to pass DC. That's not the point. So maybe Paul Falstead's simulator gives over unity because he has remnants in his transformer coils, because they're made strictly out of iron. That would make sense. But is it true? Or a blend of iron and copper? You know, that's what it means to pass DC, is to simply have remnants in your coils, not just in the core, and maybe in a shell surrounding your coils, and, you know, everywhere. It has to be, the iron has to be, literally has to surround each strand of copper winding. You can't have copper laying adjacent to copper in two adjacent windings of that copper coil. You have to have iron everywhere surrounding that coil. You literally have to use transatlantic telegraph cable from the 1880s to wind your transformer. And I've suspected that, or your coils in your motor, in your motor coils, or else you're wasting power. Maybe. I don't know. But so it's not a question of passing DC then. Oh shit. I can't do this. Damn it. I made a mistake. Okay. I'll have to turn left. It's not a question of inability to pass DC. So that's what I assumed. But no, it's simply the coils are constructed out of the wrong materials. That's all. And... but that's not over unity per se. Well, who makes coils that are with humongous inductance that have the property of remnants? Nobody does. So is that it? Remnants alone passes DC because it retains it. You know, that makes sense. So you don't have to charge the coil. Oh. No, because it's pre-charged. Oh, right. It's through use. So you don't have to have an exterior source of energy to charge the iron core of a transformer when you've got it properly set up to pass DC, because you just need it made out of iron. That's all. Simply put. Okay.